Today's gospel lesson comes to us from the book of Mark, chapter 1, verses 1 through 11, and this is from the New Living Translation. John the Baptist prepares the way. This is the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. It began just as the prophet Isaiah had written. Look, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, and he will prepare your way. He is a voice shouting in the wilderness, prepare the way, the Lord's coming. Clear the road for him. This messenger was John the Baptist. He was in the wilderness and preached that people should be baptized to show that they had repented of their sins and turned to God to be forgiven. All of Judea, including all the people of Jerusalem, went out to see and hear John. And when they confessed their sins, he baptized them in the Jordan River. His clothes were woven from coarse camel hair, and he wore a leather belt around his waist. For food, he ate locusts and wild honey. John announced, someone is coming soon who is greater than I am, so much greater that I'm not even worthy to stoop down like a slave and untie the straps of his sandals. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. One day, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee, and John baptized him in the Jordan River. As Jesus came up out of the water, he saw the heavens splitting apart and the Holy Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice from heaven said, you are my dearly loved Son, and you bring me great joy. May God bless your hearing, understanding, and application of Scripture.
Amen. Amen.
Well, good morning, church. Good to see everybody. Pastor Harold here. Welcome to our first official day in this new way forward. We are in the pre-launch phase of that, but it is our first day here, and I want to, this message today is really going to have two parts. The first part, we're just going to be talking about logistics, if you would, about what we're doing, where we're at. So if you're listening online, you can engage with this, and any links or anything will be in the show notes of this video once it's uploaded, and for your be able to capture this information we're talking about. First thing is these decals are in. These are the decals, and this is a Group Conscience Wood logo that we created that we as a group went through back and forth for a while till we settled on this design. So they're back there in the back, so you can get some of those decals for whatever you want to put them on. You can even put them on your kids to stack them right here on their foreheads, and they'd be great advertisement pieces when they go to school. But no, they are available, so I encourage you to get some of those. We have apparel coming. They're going to be doing the logo matches to the different colors this week, and they'll be sending us templates for that, and I'll be sending those out to you for your input and for to approve those if you like the way it looks on that particular color shirt or jacket or whatever it is. And then once that's done, boom, the materials are already there. All the apparel has been ordered. It's just the screen printing's got to be done left to be done on it. So we'll have all that stuff here soon. We'll be tweaking bulletins, but definitely for Susie's sake, more than anybody's, we're going to one page bulletins. So we'll figure this out. But you're also going to be using the app. And if you haven't downloaded the app, I know Judy and some of you others have. You will have links for that. You'll see them when we come up for the giving piece of this. You will see some of the links for that, and I'll be sending those out. So if you are on our email list, be sure to check your email. If you're not getting any of our emails, then by all means, let us know that so we can fix that problem, because you're going to get a lot of stuff in the next several weeks from us. And if you get lost on it, you're not sure how to do it, just call and let me know, and I'll be glad to come to your house and help you figure it out. But so we'll have a couple of different apps, our main app will be evangelistic tool in its own right, because you'll be able to do everything from this one little app, every single thing to be able to see everything we got going on. You'll be able to see our event calendar, everything that's going on at the church, every single thing that's going on here, whether it's a party, somebody's leased out the space or whatever, you're going to be able to see that. So you always have access to that calendar, You're going to have access to the previous messages. The Bible's on that app, so you're always going to have access to that, even in the service, you know, to be able to pull it up and just utilize it. It connects right to YouVersion. It's just a killer app. There'll be notes, and I'll put all the notes for our message in that app every single week. So you'll be able to have those, capture them. You can forward them. You can email them. You can print them. So much that you can do with that template that it'll be a really positive thing for everybody. We have a temporary website. When I say that, because we have a really professional one being built for us, but the one that I have through Tidely looks really good even without it, and so we're using that temporarily. But that website domain won't change. The transformersforlife.org, that's our website. So that'll be, it's easy to remember, but it really has a mission statement inside it. And so that's, you want everything to have purpose, everything you're doing inside a movement like this. So that is up and available, and so that's still a work in progress, but it's very efficient, the website is, even at this time. Breeze is a connection church management system that we'll be using for a lot of things. Children check in as we grow the children's ministry. We'll be checking children in because that's the responsible thing to do, especially when we're handing them off and they're going different spaces. So we'll have a check in there. We'll be able to print name tags and do all that. All the giving that this church does will be inside that system. You'll have the app. You can download the Breeze app yourself, so you can always get a copy of your giving statements or know where you stand on that. There'll be lots of ways to give inside the new app, inside the Breeze app, and other technology, and you'll see those here in a little bit. And all that will be a part of that new application that's coming out. So all this stuff is in the works. I'm doing most of it behind the scenes. So a lot of it I'm learning on the fly. But I spend a lot of hours on it. I mean, a lot of hours around the clock working on this stuff. And it's all going to make us more effective, especially when you're trying to reach people outside of this space and stay connected with them. We'll have a launch event each month. And our first one's going to be next Sunday evening right down the street at Big River Pizza. All right. And so if you check your email, you'll have... through Breeze, we'll be doing our launch events through that where you register on. There's no cost to it. You can do a free will donation if you would, but the church will pick up the pizza that night. But if you want to donate, that's great. But you need to register. So that's a tool you can use to forward to other people. Hey, we want you to come. All you got to do is click on how many people you're bringing. So we just have an idea so we can tell the people this is how many people we're bringing on there. But in that launch event, when we do these things, and we'll do another one in August and September and October and November and December once a month, we'll do different things. And I just picked this one for the first one. But in that space, we'll have a quick 10, 15 minute, hey, here's what we're doing. Here's what we're about. Hand out information, getting new people that are got questions, want to get plugged in. And we'll have plenty of those, trust me, as we go. That's a great space to be able to do that. And then we have fun. We just break bread and we hang out. And you get to know people. You get to sit next to somebody you don't know that well and just start having conversations, meet people. That's the whole point of the launch of this, is to get everybody up to speed, make sure everybody's plugged in, there's no questions, nobody's being left out, everybody's got something going on, and then we break bread and we have a lot of fun doing it. And so if you have ideas for the future launch events coming up, by all means, speak up. Say, this would be something cool to do. We can even do it at somebody's house if somebody wants to host one of them. Especially if somebody knows how to cook ribs real well. I'm not insinuating anything, but it's... But I'm just saying, but those are ideas. So, or we could do it inside a taxidermy shop where there's lots of guts and bloods and horns hanging around. That'd be fun, Dave. Would you be up for that? Yeah, he would host that. So the key is to have fun, but to be invitational and grow, friends. This is an exciting time, but it's also going to be this will be the hardest thing that you've ever been a part of anything, but I can promise you it'll be the most exciting thing you've ever done in your life. It will absolutely be exciting as you see people coming forward, people making commitments to Christ, getting baptized. Taylor's going to get baptized here soon. We're all going to be going to the river somewhere and doing that baptism, him and other people. So that's the kind of stuff we're about. And mentorship, discipleship, we'll be creating new opportunities, new places. I'll probably, in this space, someday during the week, have what I call lunch with Jesus, which will be just a lunchtime get together. We eat, we break some bread and just hang out and do a quick Bible study or something, but it'll do something during the day, one day this week, you know, coming up, you know, as we get closer to the fall, get through the summer. So anyway, so the social media platforms, we got about everything you could think of, from Facebook to Twitter, Instagram. TikTok doesn't have a business page per se, But we'll be utilizing all these platforms. If you have any gifts in these platforms or in social media, you're like, hey, that's something I could help out with, great. Because I'd love to be able to pass that torch or at least part of it off to somebody else to help manage that. But eventually we'll have a professional doing it unless we find that person in-house to really manage that platform, because it's our face out there in the world. But I tell you that because whatever social media platforms you're on, please retweet, reshare the things that we're posting, because so we can reach a broader audience, but also be invitational to our face, all these places, even LinkedIn. We even got a transformation LinkedIn page. So as we grow it, there's only so much I can do on each of these platforms every day to grow them, but I'm really counting on you to help with that by sharing them and inviting people to this space. But we'll have social media covered well. Pretty just generic stuff in the beginning. We have a SoundCloud account and we have a Spotify account, and that's important for two reasons. One, SoundCloud allows us to stream music in this space commercially without getting any problems coming back to bite us. But at the same time, we have a Spotify transformation station, which will put the song lists out each week. Monica and Chrissy come up with that list. They usually send it out somewhat early, by Tuesday usually. But anyway, we'll throw that into Spotify and send that link out, and you'll have the link to all the music that we're going to be singing that week, so you can just be engaging with that music before you ever get here. Know the songs better. It's just a fun way, and it's a great way to share the good news of what we're doing. You know, here's our song list, guys. Check out our song list for Sunday. Here it is on Spotify. And they go, and it's got our logo and everything. So just another way to evangelize and share the good news of what we're doing. And if you have ideas how to do something better or an idea that we're not even thinking about it, speak up. I'm willing to try anything. I'll try it. I'm willing to take risks, throw spaghetti against the wall, but it doesn't stick, I'll be the first one. It's not working, let's do something different. But those are all things that we have coming up. But that event list will be that our first launch, and that'll be next week. So I really want everybody to be there, but I want you to invite people to come. Whether it's people that just don't come anymore, they faded out at some point in time in the season, they're really not plugged in anywhere, people in your family, neighbors, coworkers, invite them and tell them to register. Send them the registration link. Have them get registered so we know how many people to count on. And that's going to be really important for the future of our church. So a lot of cool things going on, a lot of moving parts, a lot of change, a lot of getting to know what these things are. But that's really what we want to encourage everybody to be a part of that. Everybody to be a part of it. And the more engaged you are, the more you're going to feel a part of it, and the more exciting it will be. So that's just part one. I wanted to make sure we covered that in a wide way this morning as we dive in. We're going to get into the Gospel of Mark, and we'll be spending 8 weeks. Today is just kind of an introduction to that. And the question really, and so if there's a question out of Mark that each of us really need to ask ourselves spiritually when it relates to Jesus, it's this question. Are you a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ, or are you just an enthusiastic fan? Are you just somebody who gets excited about Jesus, but you're not really, really willing to come in all the way in or really be committed to living a Jesus-centered life, following a Jesus-looking God? It's a really important question wherever you're at, because so many casual Christians are stuck in their way, and I'll unpack this a little bit more in a second. But we get so stuck into what it really means to live a kingdom life, to live a Jesus-centered life. What does that really look like? And am I living into it, or am I just an enthusiastic fan? I mean, seriously. And so this is a serious question that we all got to answer, because if we're going to grow as a church, if we're going to create a revolution, if we're going to create a movement, then we need to be sold out for living a Jesus-centered life. Jesus spends a great deal of his time in the Gospel of Mark, a great deal of his time in this gospel, inviting people to follow him. That's really what he's spending time to. Follow me. Follow me. Follow me. And so this is a robust chapter, this Gospel of Mark, and it's the first gospel. It's the first gospel written. It's very robust. It starts right out. It doesn't go back to the birth story like Luke does. It starts right out with this particular passage that Jane read for us in John. John baptizing the forerunner, if you would, to Christ, announcing what's about to happen. And so it's important to understand why that's the case, and we're going to spend some time on that for a little bit But he spends a great deal of time inviting people to follow, right? And then he asks them to not only follow, but he asks them to leave their occupations, to leave their significant jobs, their family sometimes, to join a movement to go on the greatest rescue mission in the history of the world. Because that's what Jesus is all about, to rescue the lost, right? So this is, we're part of a huge rescue mission. And despite we're thousands of years from when this actually happened, there's still people out there that are so lost, and you know those people. I mean, they're just lost. They're in the news every night. You see them all over the place. Sometimes they're in your own family, but they're just lost. And they may be lost in addiction somehow, but they may just be lost in their jobs, lost in their careers. They're isolated. They're sitting at home. They don't have anything. They don't have any joy. They don't have any real purpose in their life other than just to get up and be like a dog, eat, sleep, and go to the bathroom. And there's a lot of people that live that way with no purpose in their life, and they're empty inside. And that's not a Jesus-centered life. So Jesus, when he was inviting me, he's like, come on, follow me. Leave all that and let's just go. Well, it takes a tremendous amount of faith to do all that. He asked his followers to leave their safe and conventional lives and adopt kingdom living, to live a life where you're being humble, you're living a life of self-sacrifice, you're living a life of other-centeredness, and most important, you're loving everybody, including your enemies. And that's a huge shift for most people to live a really Jesus-centered life. They leave it all. Some of them leave their family ties. They leave reliable work. And they embrace a willingness to go anywhere to convert enemies to neighbors. And when I say enemies, I'm not just talking about like I'm going to shoot at you or try to take your life. I'm just talking about people that are just living for their own self-interest. They're just living a very self-centered life. There's no purpose for their life. Jesus do all this because God's kingdom is about reorganizing the world system. So that's what it means to follow Jesus, that you're a part of something greater, that you're trying to help advance the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. And it seems minuscule sometimes. You're sitting out here in the middle of House Springs or anywhere, really. It's like picking up a handful of sand off the beach and you feel like just a little grain of sand. What difference does it really make? You know, really. I'm just one person. I'm just so small. It makes all the difference in the world. There's a story about a kid is walking down the beach one day. He's going back to the beach nearly. He's walking down the beach, and it's just that season where there's lots of starfish being washed up on the shore, and they're dying, you know, as they wash up. So the kid's down there, and he sees them all, and he starts picking them up and flinging them back into the ocean as fast as he can fling them. And some guy comes jogging by and goes, "What are you doing?" He goes, "I'm trying to save these starfish." He goes, "Kid, it's not going to make that big a difference." And he holds up a starboard. He goes, "I bet it makes a big difference to this one." And he fires it out into the ocean. And that's the point. That's where we have to think about. You know, it seems as if if it's just one person that you're impacting and you make a difference in how their life turns out, you help them start to live a Jesus-centered life, then it's worth everything you ever do, right? And so that's what I want you to think about big picture as we move out of here. It's more than just coming to church on Sunday and singing some songs. Jesus' dream is about a radical inclusion of neighbor and enemies alike. So whether, you know, there are people that are already, you know, trying to follow Jesus or at least raise their hand, say, "I'm a Christian," but they're not really connected. Or you're just people out there lost altogether who really don't buy into that everybody's welcome sign out in front of your church. Because there's plenty of those people. You can pay to go to church. Because either of their twisted perception of God and their understanding of God, or they've been hurt by the church. And the church has definitely caused some black eyes for people. No question about it. But he wants justice for the most vulnerable and restoration, right? For all things marred by sin. And everything, all of creation, has been marred by the fall of humanity. No question about it. Those who follow Jesus' way, women and men alike, experience various wild emotions. And we will on this journey, I can promise you. They're going to have some big highs and some big lows. Sometimes they were astonished, amazed by what Jesus says and does. And other times, they were scared to absolutely death. They were scared to the bone what Jesus was asking them. And this is before the Holy Spirit got filled with the Holy Spirit. So they didn't have the gift of the Holy Spirit yet. We do. But they didn't at that particular time. And so they were terrified. And there was a good reason to be afraid because Jesus was blunt with his followers. And he's blunt with us today. warning them that the life in the kingdom, living a Jesus-centered life, following Jesus-looking God, living a kingdom living, will require suffering and sometimes death. And it's hard to fathom that sitting in America because we live this cushy life. But there's thousands of Christians around the world who are persecuted every day. Some of them are in prison right now, especially in the Middle East and in China. Some of them are punished severely for just having a Bible in their hand. And some of them are still crucified today. There's about 10,000 crucifixions that happen still today in the world. Did you know that? 10,000 people that are just nailed to a cross just like Jesus as a form of punishment for them wanting to follow a Jesus-looking God. It takes a tremendous amount of faith to live in a hostile territory like that and to evangelize and carry the message. It's really easy in America. And if I can't do it here, why in the world do I think I could ever do it in those spaces? So that's the challenge. It's like it's time to get up and get going when it's sharing the good news. Following Jesus is about, and I hope you hear this, is about putting us between the cross, and you can use the cross behind me, in a hard place. You know, and we get stuck between that space, right? He urges us not to lose heart, but to go the distance with him. So when we're doing this new movement, those will be times where it feels like we're getting, you know, it's that old saying, take one step forward, two step backs. We're going to have those moments. There's sometimes you're going to feel like you're on an island, but we're all alone on this venture. And there's going to be other times you're going to feel like, man, this is the greatest thing that I've ever experienced in my life. So it's going to ebb and flow. And just know that. And you're just a human being. When change happens, you're going to go, okay, well, what's that about? You know, it's going to stretch you. It's going to pull you. But if we're a part of the we, and the equation for we is you plus I equals we, and if there's a we can do a lot of amazing things in our life together, trusting that the Holy Spirit will guide us and we lean on each other. But if you consider what I was taught in church, this is not a picture of what following Jesus is all about, this between a cross and a hard place. That's not how I envisioned it, right? I kind of was under the assumption that following Jesus is best dramatized, if you would, or dramatized by regular church attendance and activities, by keeping company with the right people, and avoid dark alleys frequented by non-believers, dark places. I've been told following Jesus will make my life safe, shiny, and pain-free, and to follow him into the most incredible adventure of all time is what I'm being asked to do. But that was my perception of what it meant to be follow Jesus. Not that it was going to be hard, not that it was going to be controversial, not that it was going to be radical, right? But our new church plant is a commitment to follow Jesus like you've never done before. I mean, just never done before. You're going to be asked to identify your gifts and get busy, right? Like you've never been before, to invite others to this movement and to this revolution. You know, many of us went and watched that movie, Jesus Revolution, back last fall. And it was a power story of Pastor Greg Laurie and Harvest Christian Church and Calvary Church and how that all came to for being. And Pastor Greg, 40 years later, still out in Riverside, California, pastor in Harvest Church, does the Harvest Crusades where 70,000 people will be there this August. They simulcast it all around the world. And this started out as a young hippie man who didn't know what was going on, man. This is how his life started and where God took him to. And so that revolution is possible, and we're being called to that. So it's time for everybody to step up, get a service position in the church. If you don't really have a set position, let's find something for you. And get busy like you've never been before. It will challenge you. You will be exhausted from it, I can promise you. But you'll be blessed in ways you never even thought were possible or even dreamt about. And you will also fulfill your life's calling as a disciple like never before, because you're called to make disciples who make disciples who transform the world, who change the world. That's our job. That's our primary purpose, if you would, in life. And you will fulfill that if you really come all the way into this thing. You will meet a lot of new people in the days ahead, a lot of new faces. A lot of those people will come in with ideas and new gifts and new talents, and and it will change. You'll have people that will join the praise band. You'll have different people up here who will teach and preach. You'll have people that lead in Bible studies, other people that are involved doing this or that, teaching our kids, starting youth programs, all those things. And it's something to get excited about. But the question you have to internalize is, how do I fit into that? So you don't have to figure it out on your own, but we can definitely have one-on-one discussion about it. and just unpack it. But start with that spiritual gift test, and I'll send that link out. It's free. Taylor just did it. How long did it take you to do it? 10 minutes took him to do it. And then he emails you the response back and says, based on how you answered the questions, here it is. And it kind of puts them in categories, and it puts it in priorities, one through whatever. And you can share that with me, and I'll be glad to unpack it with you. And what does that look like to do that? But it's important to know what your gifts are. But to think that, well, I don't really have any gifts. I'm not really a good speaker. I'm not there. That's the enemy talking to you, I can promise you. Just know that's a lie, because that is a lie to the biggest extent. You can't buy into that. So there's a lot of fun to be had here, friend. And right now, at the very toddler stage, just you get a front row seat to what's going to happen. I mean, you got a front row seat right now to watch what will to use the illustration of the name of the church, the transformation that will happen. And you get to have a front row seat to that. And that's pretty exciting, I think, when you look back on it. And then one day, as this thing grows and it changes and it multiplies, you're going to sit back and go, man, I remember was. And it takes work to keep it there, because you got to stay the course. You can't get casual. And that's what happens to most churches. After they reach usually about the 10-year mark or 20-year mark in their life, their existence, they get casual. They get comfortable. And they quit discipling people. They quit evangelizing. They quit going places they don't want to end up. They quit mentoring people. And they just get set in their ways. And they become, Jesus is shining, and Jesus is going to take care of me. I'm going to live a pain-free life. I just come to church, do a few activities each year, I'm good. And that's not being a fully devoted follower of Jesus. And if you do that long enough, it erodes, and this is where most churches find themselves today, is in that space. They're stuck. They've been stuck for many years. And so can you redo it? Can you undo that? Yeah, but it takes a lot of shift. It takes a lot of commitment, and it takes a lot of willing people. It takes some very committed Jesus-centered followers. So that's what I'm asking you to do. That's what I'm asking you to get on board with. That's what Jesus is asking you to do. And that's what Jesus is asking you to get on board with. So come all the way in with that. Be committed to that. Be praying about that. And if you need a simple prayer, it's only two words. Here's the prayer. Use me. That's the prayer. God, use me. And he will use you in mighty ways. It will blow your mind how he uses you. So let's pray, and we're going to go to communion. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for Mark. What an amazing disciple he was. And his writing is so robust. And his dramatization of what took place. An eyewitness to your ministry here on earth. It's just an amazing book. And we're going to unpack it for about 8 weeks. So we thank you for Mark. We thank you for our church, our new beginnings, relaunching, relocating, rebranding, multiplying, whatever you have in store for us. Just help us to be humble enough to embrace it, open-minded enough to engage it, and honest enough to see it for what it is and not get lost in deception, delusion, twisted perceptions, or grandiose ideas, but to stay real with everything we're doing. We thank you for this beginning. We thank you ahead of time with faithitude that in holy anticipation that you're going to do something really incredible with this body of believers and the believers that will come to fruition and come to follow. So we just pray that. We pray your Holy Spirit is present and alive in each and every one of us. And everything we do, we just want to honor you and glorify you. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.